congregation may please be seated. And I bring you tidings of grace and mercy and peace from God our Heavenly Father. I invite you to please bend your hearts with me in prayer. We pray. Heavenly Father, for week after week after week, we have been asking you, imploring you to stir up your power, O Lord, and come. And today, on this Christmas morning, we get to see that promise fulfilled about a baby who comes, about a baby who lives, about a baby who suffers and dies and rises from the dead and is now with you in heaven, as we await the day when you will send him again to bring us to your heavenly home. Keep us mindful of this. Keep us every day walking in the way of the Lord and your incarnated Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Think back with me to your childhood. Maybe you're a parent who likes to parent like this. How many of you have heard the phrase, or the phrase has been used on you, "What do you think this is, Christmas?" Yeah, you feel my pain. For almost 12 months of the year, this phrase was invoked upon me. What do you think this is, Christmas? Hey, parents, can we go out to eat tonight? Can we go to Outback, Olive Garden, McDonald's? I don't care. And the phrase would come back, "We don't have money for this. What do you think this is, Christmas?" Parents, can I go see the new Star Wars movie? Parents, can I get the new gift? Parents, can I go out with this new group of friends? Parents, can I go on this date? What do you think this is, Christmas? And for day after day, perhaps you're the same way, you had to hear that same repetition. Guys, except on a day like today. We always trapped my parents in a phrase like this. We would intentionally bring our pleasures, our deep desires of the heart forward on a day like today. So we would come and say, "Hey parents, can we go out to eat today?" And they would say, "What do you think this is, Christmas?" And we would say, "Yes. Yes, it is. It is time for the big day. Can I have a gift? Can I go hang out with this group of friends? Can I do something fun?" And they would say, "What do you think this is, Christmas?" And the answer is always yes on a day like today. Because today's a day to celebrate. It's a big deal, a huge deal. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, has come as a little baby boy. He is now flesh like you and like me. It's a big, big deal. We know the story so well, don't we? A guy by the name of Caesar Augustus, he was the leader in charge. He wanted to know what his people were doing. He wanted to know how much cash they were making, and he wanted to know where they lived. So he started off on the largest census ever known in the human world. And Mary and his fiancée, no, Joseph and his fiancée, they went and they ended up in Bethlehem. There was no the Google back in those days. There was no early check-in, no Holiday Inn. They just showed up, expecting, hoping for something. And they got an inn. A manger is where they finally landed. And we know that there were shepherds keeping watch out in the flocks by night. And those shepherds, I'm sure, thought it was going to be like any other ordinary night. How many times, countless times, as the sheep were sleeping, did they lay on their backs and think about the stars in the sky, the promises of God long foretold? And they thought tonight was just going to be like any other night, but it wasn't like any other night. For you see, an angel appeared, and it was a big deal, a huge deal. The first words out of the angel's mouth were, "Fear not," and rightly so. The scriptures often depict this angel as scary. They're talked about as having six wings, eyeballs all over their body. These are the military armies of God, battle warriors. And they say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news of great tidings, which will be for all people." And suddenly there was with the angel, as many as the stars in the sky, perhaps, angels that filled the heavenly sky. And they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth with whom his favor rests. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths." It's not that unique. It'd be like saying you're going to find a baby wrapped in a diaper today. But this will be the sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. These shepherds thought tonight, today was going to be like any other day, but it wasn't. It was something special. Concordia, how's your Christmas going? Has it been like every other Christmas you thought it was going to be? Has it been like every other day you thought it was going to be? Maybe you are like one of those shepherds. Maybe you're like one of those shepherds and you've looked on your back and stared at the stars in the sky countless times, trying to count them, pondering on them. I have a word for you today, and the word is septillion. Everyone say septillion. Septillion. Septillion, I went to the Google. We have the Google today. And the Google tells me that a septillion is how many stars are in the sky. That is the number 10 with 24 zeros after it. 10 with 24 zeros, that's how many are estimated stars in our universe, and God made every single one of them. Sometimes I feel so tiny compared to the rest of creation. Sometimes I think like this day or any other day is just going to be another day. It's just going to go by. But God created a septillion stars in our universe that we know about. And if we put all of the humans, the billions and the billions of humans that ever lived into a bucket, I'm just a teeny, teeny little speck in a small planet, in an average-sized galaxy tucked away in some small corner of the universe. And like the shepherds, and perhaps like you, you might feel insignificant. Might feel like this Christmas is just like any other Christmas. You might feel that God, he's got big problems on his hands, and he does. He's got conflict overseas. He's got leaders that aren't perhaps doing what they should. Leaders at the governmental level, leaders at our work level, leaders at our familial level. And God's got big problems. Why would God care? Out of the vastness of creation, why should God care about my crummy day, my reputation, my family, my job? And the amazing thing about Christmas is that he does. God proves it to us. He cares so much about it. In the vastness of creation, he cares about my crummy day, your crummy day, and he breaks in with his son, Jesus Christ. Hear the word of the Lord from John chapter 1. From John chapter 1. Sorry, Brendan. Is this the mic that's on? Just keep going. Just keep going. Brendan gives me one of these. Grace abounds. If you haven't, grace abounds. There we go. If you haven't heard me say that phrase, it's a beautiful Lutheran phrase. In the beginning, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In our story for today, the author John wants to bring us back to creation. He's intentionally drawing us back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Think back with me to Genesis. There in Genesis, we hear God say, in the beginning, God created. And in our story for today, we hear, in the beginning was the Word. God creates all things through his Son, Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God speaks. He says, let there be light, and bang, there is light. God says, let there be a cute little fluffy bunny with a white tail and a black little nose, and bang, there is a bunny. And today, God said to you, your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and bang, your sins are forgiven. God speaks and stuff happens. And this happens through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the creator and the creature of the world. But here's what I want to draw our attention to here. This last point from our gospel lesson is this. The light shines in the darkness. John says this about Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. A number of years ago, I had the worst Christmas gift ever given to me. Ever. It was a clock. They got it for me when I was 9. They got me a clock, an alarm clock, when I was 9. I'm sure it was a subtle way to encourage me to get out of bed, to enjoy the day. And my parents would make me set it. I still haven't learned to use it too well. It was a rough morning, Rebecca. Ja, gut. It was a rough morning, but this alarm clock, it was this little square thing. But it was the brightest, I think, LED screen that they could find. And there in the middle of the night at 6 o'clock, that light would flash in my face. And I am convinced that there was no way to turn this thing off except picking it up and chucking it across the room. The light shines in the darkness. You know this when you have cell phones, alarm clocks that go off, those lights that just blast in your face. They're disrupting, uncomfortable, not fun, but they get us up and get where we're going. And that's why John today writes, here at the end of the first paragraph, the light shines in the darkness. John could have wrote, the light has shined. He didn't say that. John could have said, the light will shine one day. He also didn't say that. No, John wrote, the light shines here and now. And boy, do we need it. We need that disruption, that burst in our face to wake us up in the morning and every single day, because sometimes it feels so dark, doesn't it? As we approach the Christmas season and we have family conflict, darkness that surrounds us, budgets that don't quite meet what we were hoping to for this Christmas season, gifts that we can't fully give to other people, bosses in work situations that we're going to have to go back to in the new year and we're not looking forward to it, crummy days at work, our personal reputations. And God says the light shines in the darkness. And it shines today. It shines today with Jesus Christ, who comes as a little baby boy. And that light is going to shine. It's going to keep on shining and shining and shining. And it will shine even at the brightest when Jesus Christ is on the cross with the nails and the spears and the crown of thorns and the wailing and the moaning. And when darkness covers the whole land for 3 hours, Jesus Christ is the light who shines even at the brightest then, because this light has come into the world to defeat sin and death and darkness. My crummy problems, your crummy problems, we have a God of the universe who created a septillion stars, and he cares about me, he cares about you. This light shines for us. It's our personal alarm clocks. Our light that goes off and won't leave us alone. A light that is always with us. Always shining in the darkness. This is our Christmas joy. This is our Christmas hope. And may God, our Heavenly Father, always keep you firm in that hope, firm in that light, both now and even forevermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.